Hey, what up, guys? It's Cheekies. You know, game days at my house are a whole thing. La camiseta, the snacks, la familia, all the yelling at the TV. Y claro, el outfit para la fiesta también importa. But let's talk about the family group chat, making crazy predictions before kickoff, los amigos sending voice notes after every golazo, y por supuesto, debating which player wore it best. Sign me up para esa encuesta. And when I'm on tour, I still gotta stay close to mi gente, rooting for our team, because nothing feels better than shouting gol all at the same time. Being a T-Mobile member gets me America's best network y mucho más with nonstop talk, text, and data in the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. Plus, I get awesome benefits like incredible perks every week with T-Mobile Tuesdays. Every match is better when you can celebrate every goal con tu gente. Switch to T-Mobile today at T-Mobile.com. On qualifying plans, not for extended international use, coverage not available in some areas. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data 2H2025.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack. There's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans, now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN. 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Yes, sir. It's that time of the week. Time to welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
Not a whole lot, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, obviously, DeAndre Hopkins signing with the Tennessee Titans, and you've talked a lot this week about what that could mean for the team and all those things. I'm just curious, when you watch tape of Hopkins and you watched his most recent film from last season, what stands out to you in terms of your confidence level that he will continue to be productive as he continues to age in the NFL? We've talked about he's never really been kind of a speed guy, a burner guy, but he does a lot of other things really, really well that gives me confidence that he's going to continue to be productive. What stands out to you when you watch Hopkins at this stage of his career?
Well, I think the thing is with him is, as you mentioned, you know, he hasn't ever been known as a speed guy. He hasn't ever been known as a guy who, you know, is going to be a downfield burner or anything like that. But he does manage to still make plays down the field because he's a crafty, savvy route runner. And the way that he's able to play as far as understanding positioning and just playing basketball, basically, on the perimeter, you know, just going up and getting the football, it translates to being able to continue to play into later years. You know, whereas you look at some of the other receivers or players, period, whose game is based off of speed and things like that, it's a lot harder for them to continue that level of play late into their career. So, for me, you know, he still has it, long story short. That's the best way I could put it. And you look, there's actually I posted something a couple of days ago. Yep. It was against the
Rams.
I forget which team it was. The Rams. Yeah, it was against the Rams. And, you know, the ball was behind him, and he reached back and snapped it out the air. And on that play, just it not being an interception was a plus. He reached back and caught it, and it was a completion, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a great point. You know, he's not reliant on some traits that, like, you know, at a certain age, you know, some guys, it just starts to fade on him. So I think he's got that longevity in terms of his game. I do, though, TD, just because, and I know last year wasn't really injury play, but you had the MCL hammy the year before, you had the PD suspension. You know, that's my biggest concern is just, you know, you get into your 30s and then you add all that together and you do wonder just in terms of, you know, being able to answer the bell every week. How big of a concern do you think that is? What do you think would be like? Obviously, the Titans want it to be 17, but what's a a number that makes this signing valuable enough of games that Hopkins plays this year?
Yeah, I think 14 to 15 games is probably more realistic target. But, yeah, if they could get him at least 14 games, I think that makes the deal definitely one that works, in my opinion.
So, TD, Ian Rappaport put it out there a little bit earlier today, the Kevin Byard restructuring of the contract, base salary now at $11 million, is incentives available to get it back to 14. I mean, my original thought on that was, all right, you're making room for DeAndre Hopkins if you're the Titans and his deal coming in. But also, like, you know, it kind of feels like, in some ways, Kevin Byard is just taking a pay cut after everything we've talked about this offseason. So what do you make of the Kevin Byard restructure that's now been put out there?
Yeah, you know, the timing is very interesting. Obviously, we know what's going on as far as the Titans getting ready to make that DeAndre Hopkins deal official. I think it's just it's funny how such a big deal was made about this, right? And everybody said, hey, he's going to get traded. Kevin Byard's not going to be around. And they dogged Rand Carthon for it. But now, look, ends up getting done. And it's going to help them be able to make some additions. Because, George Fant is a guy that they're working out. Yep. And that's something that's probably going to end up being done as well. So I think in this case, it's the timing is great because it allows Kevin Byard to say, hey, look, man, I took one for the team. You know what I mean? And that's something that just kind of, in my opinion, goes on to further prove, like, Rand Carthon and what he's able to do. Because, again, everybody dogged him for the idea. But now, look, it's going to lead to something fruitful for them adding a couple other players.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously looks like, yeah, like you said, it's tied to this. So, without knowing exactly like what the ask was before, I mean, is that how you read it? Is as simple as, okay, when there's a reason here, like, you know, Byard has talked about previous restructures, but those weren't pay cuts, but restructures, you know, like mm-hmm. with Clowney and Robert Woods or whoever else it was. So it basically, like, when there's a reason, it's easier to ask this question, I guess. Is that what you would take from
that? Absolutely. Absolutely, it is. That's how I look at it. And one thing you're going to see, though, with a lot of these Titans deals is that, you know, under this team that you got, you know, Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker, you're going to see a lot of incentivized deals. You know, that's one thing that I think is going to become a trademark of this team, you know. And the incentives, obviously, are going to be ones. I mean, look at DeAndre Hopkins and the ones that he has. You know, it's tied to performance, and they're attainable incentives. You know what I mean? So I'm curious what those are for Byard. But, yeah, I mean, I'm glad they were able to get something figured out.
TD, you brought up George Fant and the Titans hosting him for a workout this weekend. And like you said, pretty likely that, if all things go well, he signs. What do you make of George Fant at this point in his career and the idea of the Titans going outside the organization and bringing in somebody else to add to the offensive line?
Yeah, well, one thing that I think any GM would tell you can never have enough tackles. So yeah, that's something that we're seeing here. And we saw it last year, right, when Titans went through it. So I think we add Fant. It's a good addition. If it's something that leads to him becoming a starter for the whole season, hey, it's even better. You know, but I think he will come in and eventually work his way into that starting spot for the six games. The thing you got to think about, though, there's two things. Obviously, Fant has been a left tackle. He's flipping to the right side. Have to make sure that that's a transition he can make. But also the knees. He's had some issues. You know, he missed a lot of games over the last couple of years. And it's just one of those things where you got to hope that he's able to, you know, not have that reoccur, because knees for offensive linemen in the 30s, it's never a good thing. But, you know, if they can manage that and work through it, at least for this one season, I think it gives them a really good option at right tackle, and it keeps them from having to shuffle everything else like we had looked at before.
TD, how do you think kicker is going to play out here in the next few weeks, and how big of a concern is that for a team that I think is probably going to be in some, close, low scoring games.
Yeah, well, I mean, Caleb Shudak and Trey Wolf, you know, they couldn't be two more opposite players. Shudak is a mini me, and Wolf is kind of like a giant, you know, at the, what, 6'3", 200 something pounds. I think they're just going to continue to compete. It's hard to say who's going to win because they both have made, you know, some pretty long kicks that we watched in OTAs and mini camp, but they're going to have to get that thing worked out. I personally, if I was them, I would hope that it could get worked out sooner than later. So whoever is the kicker, you can put them in some pressure situations and see, you know, how they're going to respond in games in preseason.
TD, last thing for you here, back on Hopkins real quick, just from a domino effect standpoint, whether it's Treylon Burks and the matchups he's now going to get, or NWI, Chris Moore, maybe moving down a rung on the receiving ladder heading into camp. How big a deal, beyond the production of Hopkins himself, how big a deal do you think the acquisition of him is for the rest of this receiving room?
Yeah, I think, you know, it adds confidence to the receiving room, and it gives them someone else to watch. I mean, Treylon Burks has said before, they hold each other accountable each day to elevate their games, et cetera. Well, you know what? You put someone like that in there, it makes you want to elevate your game even more because, I mean, this is one of the best in the game. So I think it helps there. And, again, the confidence side of things. You know, now they don't have to listen to all the nonsense about the worst receiving corps, et cetera. That's a thing of the past. But it's still – I think they'll have a chip on their shoulder, and it just adds to the competition, which is the right thing that you want to do. You know, anytime you could increase the competition on the roster, you want to do it.
Well, TD, we've made it. Training camp is now right around the corner with the Titans. We're almost there, and looking forward to talking to you next week.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. We'll get more into Kevin Byard, his restructuring of the contract, the DeAndre Hopkins part of this, George Fant, everything on the table, 615-737-1025 on our phone line and our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. He's going to continue to be productive. What stands out to you when you watch Hopkins at this stage of his career?
Well, I think the thing is with him is, as you mentioned, you know, he hasn't ever been known as a speed guy. He hasn't ever been known as a guy who, you know, is going to be a downfield burner or anything like that, but he does manage to still make plays down the field because he's a crafty, savvy route runner. And the way that he's able to play as far as understanding positioning and just playing basketball basically on the perimeter, you know, just going up and getting the football, it translates to being able to continue to play into later years. You know, whereas you look at some of the other receivers or players, period, whose game is based off of speed and things like that, it's a lot harder for them to continue that level of play late into their career. So for me, you know, he still has it, long story short. That's the best way I could put it. And you look, there's actually I posted something a couple of days ago.
Yep.
It was against
the Rams.
I forget which team it was. The Rams. Yeah, it was against the Rams. And, you know, the ball was behind him, and he reached back and snapped it out the air. And on that play, just it not being an interception was a plus. He reached back and caught it, and it was a completion, you know.
That was Teron Davenport on with us in the last segment. Appreciate him taking time to be with us as he does each and every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. If you missed it, Ian Rappaport putting this out there earlier. Quote, the Titans and Pro Bowl safety Kevin Byard have agreed to terms on a restructured contract for the 2023 season. His base salary is now $11 million, and there are incentives available to get back to the $14 million he was originally owed. This from Ian Rappaport a little bit earlier from NFL Network. Now, we've talked about that, Joe. Rappaport uses the term restructured contract. It kind of, to me, just kind of sounds like a pay cut with incentives with the opportunity to get it back to the $14 million that was originally owed that would not count against the Titans against the cap at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a pay cut by how I define it. So based on that information provided by Ian Rappaport. So, again, I think it's a lot easier to, and as we've discussed earlier and then with TD again too, without having the information about exactly what was asked previously, I think it's a lot easier to ask anything if it's like, look where we are and look what this guy or maybe this guy and this guy could do for us.
Right.
Now, again, previously, Byard, it's not like you're making some huge sacrifice, really, you know, when you get your deal restructured. So that was a restructure. This looks like an actual cut, but what are the incentives? You know, and interesting point by TD as well in terms of like the this front office maybe being more into incentives or escalators, yeah, as I now call them. Now that, you know, a lot of agents and players don't like that, by the way. And so it's not like, you know, I mean, most people like to, like, here, what's my salary? Stuff happens in this sport. And, you know, the guaranteed money is the guaranteed money. I do think that in some instances, it just makes sense. And, but a lot of times that goes with like older players where just participation is more of a question in their careers.
Well, I think on the Hopkins front, for sure, the incentives, yeah, made a lot of sense for him, right? Because you're coming off the, you know, being cut by Arizona and the injury stuff that we've talked about on the other side of 30. I mean, I think we knew the whole time the incentives deal was going to be probably a part of things with DeAndre Hopkins. It is going to be interesting, like, moving forward, though, that if that's the strategy, or I guess more often the strategy that Rand Carthon and the Titans take, what does that look like around the league? Because to your point, Joe, and it makes sense from an agent standpoint, agents probably don't like that a whole lot when you're throwing out incentive-laden contracts all over the place.
Yeah, no, for sure. Football and other F words, by the way. I'm just seeing this tweet. So, you know, I mean, basically what we were just saying too, you know, it's like, this is not a restructure. It's a renegotiation.
Right.
And it's a pay cut, you know, so don't let, he says in this tweet, don't let Ian using what the agent told him to use confuse you. Yes. This happens sometimes with the Bobbsey twins, yeah, Ian and Adam.
It does. So it sounds like a straight up pay cut that he's taking there. And then, you know, TD did bring up the other part of this. I mean, there's the George Fant part of it too, that they're hosting him for a workout this weekend. I would assume, unless it's just a disaster and the physical doesn't work out or whatever it would be, that he's probably going to be signed and he'll be in camp for the Titans starting next week. So I think at that point, as long as he remains healthy, he's probably your starting right tackle for the first six games. But there's the Hopkins money officially coming in, which, by the way, DeAndre Hopkins made things official yesterday, at least from his standpoint. We'll see when the Titans do that. And then there's the George Fant part of this. And we said this yesterday. I don't anticipate George Fant making a ton of money if he signs with the Titans. But you are talking about an offensive lineman that is probably going to come in to be a starting right tackle for you for six games. And the other part of that, Joe, that we talked about with Jim Wyatt and we talked about a little bit yesterday, if they go that route, and he's on the roster on week one, his salary is guaranteed for the year.
Yeah, and look, I feel like if he's sound and they feel good about his health, and man, I guess it's football, right? But you got to be a little bit nervous if you're a Titans fan about all these different transactions revolving around people who have injury history. Oh, yeah. But it's football. But if he is sound, I think it's an important add. One, just to have more depth at that position. You know, if Jamarco Jones is just the next Kendall Lamb, which is just like, oh, not at all what they thought he was, and that may be the case, and of course he's had, I mean, injuries were the main story with him last year, then I think you need another tackle. You don't know when Dylan Raiden is coming back, or even if he does, when he does, what that even means. So I think this could be a really important add for them. Not as important as Hopkins, but pretty important. I do want to go to Jake and Greenbrier real quick. Yep. And kind of going back to what TD said, but Jake says, I was told by a certain personality who comes out at 2 p.m. that Rand was an idiot for approaching KB about a cut slash restructure. First of all, I don't know if Jared used the term idiot, but I mean, I'll go ahead and I'll push back a little bit on what TD said. Yeah, I mean, if it was personal insults to Rand Carthon or like that, well, that's silly. But I still like the in a vacuum asking him for a pay cut, considering how important he is, I still disagree with that. And even though we're where we are now, let's all remember what all happened as a result of that. I mean, Byard was very unhappy.
Yep.
I don't know that he was unhappy to the point of a certain person coming out at 2 p.m. saying he, demanded to be traded, or exactly how he phrased that, which Rand Carthon has dunked on every chance he's gotten. But he was unhappy. So I do still look at that as, there's that. And now there's this when there's an outcome that can help the team because you did it. I mean, good for him for getting him to do it, right?
Sure.
And good for Byard Byard is a team guy. I mean, Byard is there are a lot of people who wouldn't do this. But I don't think this completely changes what happened back then.
I don't think it does either. I mean, I agree with what you said. When you give a player a reason to do it, then it becomes a lot more palatable at that point. Like in a vacuum, asking somebody like Kevin Byard, just, hey, you're making too much money, you need to take a pay cut. I mean, I think it was really short-sighted on the part of Rand Carthon and the Titans to do that. When you get to this point and there's now a reason associated with it and you're making room for DeAndre Hopkins coming in that could really help you win and could be a big factor for you this year, then I think that's why we're seeing what we're seeing, Joe, which is Kevin Byard with more of an appetite to have that conversation rather than just in a vacuum. Yeah, just we're gonna ask you to take a pay cut, please. Be great, Kevin Byard, all pro.
Right. Yeah, and I do look at this, and someone asked something to this effect earlier on the text line, but I guess it was like is this like an unwritten extension or whatever? I don't know about that, but I do think for Kevin Byard, it's not exactly like Derrick Henry, but like Derrick Henry fits here perfectly. Derrick Henry, this is his best place. There are other teams who would gladly take him on for a very low number, but he wouldn't get a ton of work. And, it's just this place, he's central to what they do. It has been great for both sides. Byard would be a great safety anywhere. But I do think that there's something to the idea of, having a good back and forth, good relationship, and maybe extending his career and having an opportunity to actually retire here, So I don't know if that has anything to do with this or not, but when you look at the big picture, if you're on Kevin Byard's side, I could see you thinking along those lines.
The game summer ticket tour is headed to Bringle Smoking Oasis, located at 4901 Centennial Boulevard. Today from 2 to 6, come eat, drink, hang, and leave with a pair of free sounds, Preds, Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, or concert tickets. Also get signed up for your chance to win the grand prize, which is Titans tickets, Preds tickets in the 501 Club, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to Soundwaves. Black Tie Moving delivers the game summer ticket tour. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Coming up next, we'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. We will also get into the Tennessee Vols, and I'll throw out the question that we threw out a little bit earlier in the show. How important is this season for Tennessee in terms of building on what they did last year and proving that season wasn't just a flash in the pan? We'll get into that as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. I got a pair of tickets to give away to see Gypsy Kings at TPAC Jackson Hall coming up on November the 4th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Gypsy Kings at TPAC Jackson Hall coming up on November 4th, 615-737-1025. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David on the Kevin Byard front says, is it possible they make the incentives extremely easy to accomplish? It's a good way to work around the cap. This from David on the text line. There is a certain baseline of what the incentives have to be to not work against the cap. Is that not correct, Joe Rexroth?
Yeah, I believe so. I cannot tell you the specifics on that, but no, I'm very interested to see what they are too. Did Jared say earlier he thinks they'll be impossible to achieve, or did I hear that wrong? He said so many things
today. The phrase that he used was not likely to be earned. They have to be labeled as not likely to be earned.
NLBE.
Yes. Apparently likely to be earned incentives count against the fake cap, his words.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah, so that – I'm still interested also to find out like the details of the Hopkins contract, by the way.
Yeah, me too. Really interested to see what that looks like as well. So we'll take more of your thoughts on that on our text line, 615-737-1025. Joe, you were following Joe Milton around SEC Media Days yesterday. Lots of conversation about how far he could throw a football. We talked about that a few minutes ago. I am very intrigued by him. I'm very intrigued by this team in general this year. And I heard some of this conversation on the SEC network yesterday, and a lot of people have kind of talked about this week. But the idea of the importance of this Tennessee team following up on what they did last year. We all know Hendon Hooker was a special player. He threw 5 interceptions in 2 years at Tennessee. He was unbelievable in what he was able to accomplish. Tennessee wins 11 games last year. They go 11-2 with the Orange Bowl win. And now, high expectations heading into this year. I think most people are going to have them when the results come out later today. Probably is the second favorite team in the SEC East behind Georgia. And the question that's been thrown out there is, okay, if Tennessee follows it up this year and they win 10 games or they win 11 games and they're right there in the mix again, what sort of a message does that send about Josh Heupel, the program that he's building, and the sustainability of it? And conversely, if maybe they're not in the mix this year and they're 7-5, 8-4, and they take a step back, was last year just kind of a one-time thing with the season that they were able to have with a special quarterback and Hendon Hooker and all those things? How do you view, I guess, the importance level of this season for Tennessee from that perspective, Joe, as we get things kicked off here in just a little over a month? Have we lost Rex Road? I think Rex Road has pulled a new one and has unplugged his microphone for the first time ever. So it's not really a mute, I would say, just more of an unplugging of the microphone. Do we have Joe? Oh, not yet. We'll let Joe get his microphone plugged back in there. So, again, the question for you as Tennessee fans.
Oh, my God.
He's back. There we go. Question for Tennessee fans is, how important is this year based on following up last year's magical season of 11-2. Joe, welcome back.
That was a nightmare. My gosh. There's a new one. The mic. How the heck did that even happen? I had a really good point to make, too. This got me all flustered. So here's the thing with Tennessee. First of all, you know how I think college football more than any other sport. I mean, it's college sports, but college football, like, one season. I mean, again, Nick Saban has won 9, and it's like, is the dynasty ending? I don't know, folks. I mean, Ole Miss beat him. You know, I love Pat Forty. Got to see him. We should have tried to get Pat Forty on here to see how many Vols fans would get upset.
I'd really like
this
that
week. But I mean, I remember the column he wrote, like when Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss beat Saban, whatever year that was, and it was the are we starting to see the cracks in the foundation? Again, I say this because I've written columns like this too. Go check my column when Josh Heupel was hired. Some really good takes.
Oh, yeah.
But in this sport, it is so – everything applies to the big picture, right? So, to your point, I mean, yeah, it's important. I mean, narratives do matter in this sport. Narratives have something to do with recruiting. Even in NIL and everything like that, there's still – people still gravitate. I don't think Georgia and Alabama, I don't think they're like their NIL or anything is like better than Tennessee's, but they are Georgia and Alabama. And so they still have that momentum. People still want to go where they think, you know, you can win championships and go where they think you're best developed for the NFL. So this season's very important for Tennessee. I do, if it doesn't go as well as planned, I do then ask the question, okay, why? Because it could end up being that Joe Milton isn't good enough. And Joe Milton is just a step down from Hendon Hooker. He's going to be a step down from Hendon Hooker to some extent, right? If not, wow, make way for the parade.
Yeah.
I mean, Hendon Hooker was,
I think, at
absurd.
Least from a turnover standpoint, he's almost got to be a step down.
Yeah, and I mean, just Hendon Hooker was unbelievable. He was going to win the Heisman until Georgia punched Tennessee in the mouth. But if it turns out, you know, Joe Milton is just, it's kind of, he's this tantalizing talent, but he can't quite put together and or can't quite stay healthy for a whole season. And then they go 7-5 or 8-4. I mean, it's not, you know, it's no death knell. I don't think it's going to derail what they want to do. But if they can, stack in there a 9 or 10. Look, if they go 9-3, there's some Vols fans right now who are so excited about the season who are going to be disappointed. I'm here to tell them you should take 9-3 if you get 9-3. It's still a pretty darn good year, you know. But this is where things have gone with the hype. And if they can go better than 9-3, then I think it's more like you have more to gain from doing that than you have to lose if you step back a little bit, because you have the 5-star QB coming in, and all accounts on Nico are people love him in the building. I mean, he's embracing kind of just learning this year under Joe Milton. I understand if Milton throws a pick in the second quarter against Virginia, then half of all Twitter is going to be screaming for Nico to come in, but it's not going to happen.
Well, we're going to see him one of these first 4 weeks.
Oh, for sure. He'll get some action. Yeah, he'll get some action. But yeah, exactly. He'll get. That's funny, too, you say that. Yeah, that's probably the smart thing to do to redshirt him, although I think right now the expectation is there's 3 years for him in Knoxville. But we'll see. I don't know if he's going to end up being that good, but I think he's going to be good. And they're set up to have more success down the line. And they're set up to be right there next year when that 12-team playoff starts, to be a team that has a legit reason to believe they should be in it. So this season's not going to change that.
I would agree with that. Now, I will say I do think it's important from the standpoint of how much of last year was Hendon Hooker. I think that's what a lot of people really want to know. How much of last year's success was just the fact that Hendon Hooker, to your point, was the Heisman favorite heading into the Georgia game? And how much of it is Josh Heupel's a really good coach, this offense is really, really good, and it's hard to stop no matter who's running it, and that Tennessee's getting better? Look, Tennessee's getting better. That's there's no question about that. I think Josh Heupel and the things that they do offensively, number one's a lot of fun, and number two is really effective. So I think this offense this year is going to be good. Are they going to be anywhere close to the number one offense in the country like they were a year ago? So I do think it's important as they move forward here, how much of their success from last year was Josh Heupel kind of taking the reins of this program and really running with it, and how much of it was they unlocked Hendon Hooker to be a great, great player, and he carried them through a lot of those games last year. I don't know what the answer to that is, but if you're a Tennessee fan, you're probably hoping deep down that you love Hendon Hooker. He was a great player. He'll always be remembered for his time at Tennessee, but that last year was more of a commentary on Josh Heupel and everything going on around Hendon Hooker than it was just specifically Hendon Hooker.
Right. And to invoke a point Jared made earlier that I actually thought was good, then you go to the next. Okay, so then let's remember what Hendon Hooker was at Virginia Tech. He's basically discarded. Now, he did have injury stuff there and things like that, but then he becomes this. So how much of that is credit to what Heupel does with quarterbacks, you know? I mean, I think there's both things are true. I mean, I think that clearly Heupel's strength is developing quarterbacks and running this offense. He redefined his career basically, and he's had awfully good success with quarterbacks. Doesn't mean he's going to be at 100%, you know. But I think a lot of Hooker's success can be traced to that. But I also think there were some times where everybody's just standing there last year where they're playing Alabama, and it's like, man, is this kid going to make another ridiculous play or not? You know, and he was special. And this program is going to be very quarterback dependent, and it's the strength of the program, but you're still going to have some ups and downs in there.
There's one text from an unnamed texter that we'll get to next that I just don't think that I agree with, and we'll take your thoughts on the Vols and more coming up next. 615-737-1025, all that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, there's a text that I'm not sure that I agree with. That an unnamed texter says, a good year with Milton will be 8-4. Any expectation of more than that is silly. And I'm not saying that Tennessee won't go 8-4, because I think 8-4 is within the realm of possibility this year for Tennessee when you look at their schedule. However, I look at their schedule, Joe, and I say purely from a talent standpoint, I think there are two teams that are clearly better than Tennessee on their schedule, and I think there are three teams that are probably more talented than Tennessee on their schedule. Alabama and Georgia, I think, are better teams than Tennessee are. I think Texas A&M is more talented than Tennessee is. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're better, and we saw that a year ago. But I think they're more talented than Tennessee is. Other than that, like, Tennessee, I think, has more talent than Kentucky does. Tennessee has more talent than South Carolina does. Certainly Vanderbilt and Missouri. You can get into that part of the conversation. So I don't know that I buy that any expectation of anything beyond 8-4 is silly with Joe Milton at quarterback. I'm not saying they won't go 8-4, but I do think it's fair to have higher expectations than 8-4 for Tennessee this year.
Right. And two of those three games are at home, by the way.
That is true.
Doesn't mean that much all the time, but it could mean something. No, the big thing there is it's certainly not a good year. Yeah, you can think they're going to go 6-6 or whatever. If they go 8-4, no one is going to say, hey, good year under Joe Milton. I mean, a good year to me would be 9-3. 8-4 would be a disappointment because it means you're losing a game somewhere in there that you definitely were favored to win. At Florida, not saying that's not going to be tricky. I don't think Florida's very good, but it's at Florida.
They need to win that game.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just saying, like, you know, there's opportunities for them to lose, but it would not be deemed good if they do. So now that may be also like a Vanderbilt or Kentucky fan just, you know, ripping on Tennessee too. I don't know, but they should aspire to be 12-0. A optimistic Vols fan should hope for 10-2.
Right. I mean, we've talked about it. The Texas A&M game is really interesting to me. It's at Neyland Stadium. I don't know what Texas A&M is going to be this year. They got Bobby Petrino coming in calling plays. There is a lot of talent there, as I said. I think they're a more talented team than Tennessee is. But, you know, they weren't very good last year. So what's that going to look like? And by the time they roll into Knoxville, Joe, like, is everything around Texas A&M feeling a whole lot better? Or is it crashing down around Jimbo by the time that they get in? I mean, they're relatively early in the season when they come into Knoxville this year. But Texas A&M, they got to play at Miami early. What's that going to look like for them when they go to Miami? They have Auburn, Arkansas, Alabama. The week before they come to Tennessee is the Alabama game. So what does Texas A&M look like? Can they get through Auburn, Arkansas, Alabama relatively unscathed? Or is the heat around Jimbo Fisher going to be so much heading into that game in Neyland where they just collapse? I have no idea.
So they have Alabama the week before and Tennessee's off, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, that works out pretty well for the Vols. Hey, by the way, Cameron, that was Cameron. I know that a lot of people put their names on their contact in this text line, so you could just do that. Some people just sign their name over and over again, but yeah. So, you can do that?
Yeah.
Wow. Look at your technological savvy.
There we go.
Hey, real quick, I do have some information to flesh out the whole the Byard thing. You know, likely to be earned is for incentive. That's something that the player did the year before.
Okay.
And that means that it would count in the current year. And then unlikely is anything in the incentives that was not accomplished that would count the next year's cap.
Okay.
The cap that exists.
Yes.
The cap. So like for Byard, like a likely would be, you know, 17 games. He did that last year. So that would be an incentive that would be a likely and would be a this year cap, for example, not knowing what he got, but that's the distinction.
I mean, he had four picks last year. So maybe it's, you get five picks, man. Come on back in there.
And that's an unlikely.
That's unlikely. I like that.
And so that, yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
Good times.
Good times on that front. Joe, we're just a few days away from training camp getting started. It's already started in some places around the league. Like, they've been showing video nonstop on ESPN this morning of Aaron Rodgers throwing footballs to stationary targets in training camp at New York Jets camp that's already been open. So the football wave is beginning. How excited are you, more excited about SEC Media Days that just wrapped up or training camp heading into it, which is a little bit longer?
Well, I get legit. I know you're asking that facetiously because I hate SEC Media Days, but I do get excited about early. I get excited about camp, the first, basically camp until the first preseason game. Okay, so there's a lot of information there. You know, you get some position battles, you get some young players, you get to see a lot more actual football looking football than you did in the spring.
Yep.
And then that first preseason game. Now, look, I do think that the Titans, I mean, the preseason games, the kicker thing is big. The backup quarterback thing is big. There's a lot of interesting aspects of it. Don't know in the trenches how much Vrabel is going to risk certain guys. But, like, that first preseason game, I'm really excited about that and some of the things we're going to learn. So from next week until then, heck yes, excitement. And then it's like August 11th, and you're like, oh, there's another month until freaking football. But the good thing about that is you're only about 2 weeks from college football at that point. So for the most part, life is good.
Well, and I will say, at least from the Titans side of things, this year, kind of for 2 years in a row, but I think even more so this year, preseason football could actually be entertaining a little bit just based on the quarterback situation. So I'm thankful for Malik Willis and Will Levis.
Yeah, because and Mike Vrabel's far from alone. This is where things are going. But Mike Vrabel does not like using important people in preseason games. But
I don't blame him.
Those quarterbacks are going to battle it out, and there's nothing like – and the kickers. You know, to TD's point, I mean, I think he's right. Like, if you had a clear number one, it'd be good. Then you give them all those reps and pressure. But, like, in the first game, I mean, I would anticipate both of them getting opportunity to try to make kicks under pressure in an actual game situation. And those reps are just – they just mean more
to invoke the SEC
than these practice competitions with, you know, 20 reporters standing around in the team watching. I mean, that's different when you're in a stadium in a game situation. So the kicker and quarterback thing alone, I think, will make the preseason games worthwhile.
Yeah, I mean, the kicker, nobody really talks about it heading into it, but it is going to be pretty interesting. Because, to your point, number one, they're going to be in a lot of close games. My question is, like, what happens if they get through, you know, halfway through camp and they look around and they say, yeah, I just don't know about either one of these guys. Like, I'm looking at kickers who are available. You know, Mason Crosby is out there. He's probably retired, would be my guess. Ryan Succop is out there, so I guess you could go back down that road. Robbie Gould, Randy Bullock still out there. Zane Gonzalez, Brett Maher. I mean, not a ton of great options at this point in their career still out there.
No, but I certainly won't rule out something like that again. It would be very disappointing if they don't feel like they've found the next guy. They need the next long-term guy. But I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. It's like you can be consistent in practice, but if you go out there and you see like a shank or two in a preseason game, how much does that worry you?
Yeah, I mean, it should worry you a lot.
How much pause does that give you? That's always an interesting kind of question, is like how you balance those two things against each other. Every single day you're seeing a guy's mechanics and you're seeing him on the practice field and you have a feel for what he is, but still, how much does the exam of an actual game situation count?
We're going to find out next week, beginning training camp for the Tennessee Titans. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Chase McCabe Show up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack, craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.